Hey everybody, this is Chris. Welcome to Renewing the Center. It is so good to have you here on the podcast today. I believe today will be our last installment of the questions God asks. These last weeks have been a ton of fun. I've personally been surprised, actually, at the scope and power of the questions that God asks. And here's my hope for you and for me. My hope is that we will begin to, in light of some of these questions, live our lives with an understanding and an awareness that God is always posing questions to us. It is good and right for us to ask questions of God, and yet He also is going to question us. He is going to probe at our motives, our desires, our actions, our intent. And the questions that we've been holding for these last weeks on the podcast, I think, really do begin to give us a bit of a framework and an imagination for the kinds of questions that God puts to us each and every day. And so I want you to begin to cultivate an imagination and an awareness for God questioning you. And maybe in some ways, as you do your devotional life, as you journal, as many of us do, to intentionally write down questions you sense the Lord is asking you. And I would encourage you to even maybe make a list of the questions that we have considered here on the podcast so that you would know what are the kinds of questions God asks. I think they actually are right here in front of us. And let's let Him question us. The last one is a question that Jesus asks one guy who receives healing. So I'm going to read from Luke 17. And the question that God asks is, were not all 10 healed? Where are the other guys? That's Chris's paraphrase. Verse 11, Luke 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As He entered a village, 10 lepers approached Him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then He said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this passage is a powerful one. I think it actually says something about the way Jesus tends to work in our lives when it comes to healing. And we'll look at that here in a few minutes. But the question that God asks here is around how few of us oftentimes notice and turn back and actually give thanks to God for the good things that happen in our lives. So the passage here tells us that Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. He is in an in-between place. I'm recording this during the season of Lent, and this has got very Lenten underpinnings to it. Jesus is headed to the cross. He is on mission. He is following God. He is resolute. Nothing's going to deter Him. But as He moves toward the cross and ultimately to resurrection, there is work to be done. And He goes into this village, and 10 lepers recognize Jesus. Now, in the podcast episodes previously, we have talked a bit occasionally about lepers. It's a skin disease, and leprosy can range from just like mild rash irritations all the way to appendages and body parts rotting off of a person. I mean, there's a huge spectrum. But leprosy was taken very seriously by the Jews. Because Jews understood God's commandment to be holy, to be clean, they saw skin irritations and diseases of the skin as a mark of uncleanness. And so when you became confirmed as a leper, you lost your life as you knew it. You were removed from the rest of the community. You had to keep distance from people. And so leprosy was more than just the skin issue. Leprosy represented a loss of connectivity, a loss of intimacy, a loss of your life as you knew it. A leper had to stay apart, so they would cluster together, thus 10 together. They would create colonies, communities of lepers. And when you encountered a leper, it was the responsibility of a leper to dishevel their appearance so that they became obviously known as a person who was a leprosy. And then they had to shout out when people came near them, unclean, unclean. I just want you to imagine that. Imagine being cut off from people, and when people came near to you, you were bound. You were obligated to declare yourself loudly as being unclean. Now, I'm relatively certain that no one listening to me today is a leper in a leper colony. If you are, I'm just so thankful that you are with us. But most of us, we may not have the outward clear, isolating diagnosis of leprosy, and yet many of us feel cut off in many regards. We feel isolated or alone. We feel maybe that relationships are hard, or maybe we feel like we've made mistakes in relationships, which has made them almost impossible, and we're paying a price for it. There are times in my life where I feel unclean. I feel unworthy and cut off, lonely. Loneliness is a struggle that I engage from time to time. I've learned to recognize it as one of the ongoing battles of my life, is to fight through feelings of isolation and loneliness. And so in many regards, I can identify with parts of the stories here of these lepers. And so they come near Jesus, the lepers do. They recognize him. I think they see the potential for the work of God, and yet they keep their distance. They're following the rules. They're living alone. But they shout out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And I think the word "master" is actually really telling, because each time Luke uses that word in his gospel, it's to articulate an expectation of authority and power. Like, so they actually are seeing Jesus and they're saying, like, "I think this guy has authority. I think he has power. I think he can do something for us." And so what does Jesus do? He responds by telling them to follow the rules. They've been following the rules to be isolated. And he says to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And that was a Jewish regulation around, if you felt that you had been cured or you felt the leprosy had gone away, then you were obliged as a Jew to go to the priest and show yourself to the priest to get a kind of clean bill of health so that you would be able to reintegrate. Now, here's the thing that I notice about the miracles of Jesus. Many of the miracles of Jesus occur as people take a step in obedience. And I think that's actually exactly what's happening here. Verse 14 says, Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And then the next sentence here, listen to this, "And as they went, they were made clean." So there was a step. They were invited to take a step. They were invited to move. And in their moving, the Lord healed them. And I think it's actually the way Jesus works with many of us. When we are in a stationary space, when we're stuck, either stuck in our pain or stuck in our sin or stuck in our fatalism, we oftentimes do not receive the very thing that we long for. And yet as we move, which is an implication of trust, right? There's a sense in which these 10 trust that Jesus is up to something powerful in their lives. And so they all 10 turn. They all 10 obey. They submit. They surrender. And they're healed. But only one of them comes back. And on the surface, I just think, this is ridiculous. You know, I mean, these are 10 people who'd had their whole lives taken away. I've just described to you how debilitating and how isolating leprosy is and was, and yet like only one of them comes back. But the one that comes back actually really comes back. I mean, he gives us a template, I think, for how we ought to respond to the goodness and the work of God in our lives. He praises God. He falls down in front of Jesus. And then he says, just simply, thank you. And here's the deal. If we're going to hold the question God asked, which is, what about the other guys? We just have to acknowledge the fact that I think God intervenes in our lives in more ways than we might imagine. And we just sometimes forget to do what this one leper does. How many times do I receive good things? Things that if I really were to stop and think about it, I would say these are things that have come to me from the hand of God and yet just kind of go on my life, tuck it into my belt and think, well, maybe life was so hard I deserve that. I mean, that's what these lepers could have felt. Maybe that's what the other nine did feel. They may have felt like, you know, I've been sidelined, I've been isolated, I've been hurting, and now I deserve a break. And so I'm just going to make the most of my break. Y'all, the one guy turns and gives thanks. And when God asks the question, weren't 10 of you healed? What about the other ones? I think what he's saying to us is, will you be intentional and reflective about the things that I do in your life and stop and be intentional about giving thanks, rendering praise, worship? I believe that this question of God is an invitation to gratitude, intentionality, and thanksgiving. And one of the things that I'm learning in my life is that the more intentional I am around the idea of thanksgiving, the more I am able to receive the work of God. It's almost like thanksgiving makes me notice more. So I drive a Toyota Tacoma and I love it. Those of you who know me know that I sold my Jeep recently, and I love that Jeep. I was really sad about selling my Jeep, and yet I really love this truck. It's a four-wheel drive truck. I love it. I'm using it in the mountains, throwing things in the back of it, digging up stuff. It's just so fun. It's like a toy to me, and I drive it every day, and I love it. Well, when I decided that I was going to buy a Tacoma, and I knew that it was my intention was set for Tacoma, I began to see Tacomas everywhere. Now, do you think there were more Tacomas on the road just because I had decided to buy one? No, I was noticing through intention. I believe that noticing and then stopping and being intentional and giving thanks to God for his work allows us to begin to spot the work of God more readily in our lives. And I just want to say, I don't think when you begin to notice that it's because God's doing a whole lot more. I mean, there are seasons where maybe he is like doing more for you than he was in another season where it's just a season of abundance. I believe that as a Christian, but I also believe this. I think we're asleep. I think we live our lives oftentimes asleep to the work of God and we just miss it. Or worse, we assimilate the good things that God has done and we somehow feel entitled to those things and we think, you know, my life is hard, I deserve a break. Maybe that's what these other nine guys were thinking. If you'll notice and give thanks, I believe the Lord will begin to make your eyes more keenly aware of the work of God's kindness and his faithfulness. And then before you know it, you're going to be on this adventure with God where you're noticing the good things that he's doing all the time. So this question, and the one that we're going to end this series with, is around being intentional concerning gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. May it be so for you and for me. Let's give thanks.